edition of Texans Huddle. We're the Fox Sports Southwest girls hanging out here in Budweiser Plaza, and we are so excited to be here.
That's right. Today is the first round of the playoffs against the Bengals. A big game for the Texans, and there are so many fans. It's electric. We are just excited to watch this game.
This is Texans Huddle, presented by Houston Community College. HCC is the official education partner of the Houston Texans. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Reliance Stadium, Houston Texans, round two. The Houston Texans and the Cincinnati Bengals, a rematch from last year. Of course, game one of the playoffs, the wild card round. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Texans Huddle, brought to you by Houston Community College. Patty Smith alongside GM Rick Smith. And you are, like, so fired up, so positive today. I'm loving it.
I am. We've got an opportunity, and it starts today, and we want to win a championship, and we've got to play well. We understand that we haven't played well over the last few weeks, but we know what we're capable of, and we're confident in ourselves, and I'm excited to watch us play today.
Well, I like what you said about being tested. You know, dropping three of the last four down the stretch here, obviously not what this team wanted to do, but you were tested, and you sort of feel like that's going to propel you forward.
Well, I do, because I think if you're going to win a championship, you've got to be tested, and you've got to fight through some things, and we certainly have done that over the last couple of weeks. We've had some injuries at the inside linebacker position as well, and so there's some things that we've had to work through. But again, I don't think that you can develop the toughness that you need without having to go through some of those things, and I think we're ready.
Being home here at Reliance Stadium, these fans are, clearly out here early. They're jacked up. They've got their signs. You know, how important is that? How much do you enjoy seeing that out here and knowing that your team is home with these guys?
It's so important. I've talked with members from the Bengals organization, and they really struggled last year because of the environment, and that was something that was very, very important to us, and our players feed off of it. And so it's going to be fun out here today.
All right, we're looking forward to it. Let's see how it all played out in this week's Texans Rewind.
The Texans begin again.
The Bulls on Parade were back.
Here's pressure. Dalton's going to go down. J.J. Watt. He's at it again.
Dalton has time. Throws downfield over the middle. Tipped and almost intercepted by Daniel Manning.
Here's the pressure. Dalton throws downfield. Picked off Jonathan Joseph.
And after a good week at practice, it carried over to game day, limiting the Bengal offense to just 198 yards and two field goals in the Texans' 19-13 victory.
Just exceptional. You know, an offense helped them by staying on the field. We had the ball for almost 39 minutes in the football game, so that helps your defense. They're 0-for-9 on third downs. We just kept making big plays. J.J.'s interception is a huge play. But our defense has been battling all year long. You know, we had some young guys out there, through some injury circumstances. But Reggie and the staff has done a tremendous job of keeping everybody headed in the right direction.
The way he puts in the game plan for us is about going out and executing and playing our type of football, you know, winning third downs, limiting the big plays and things like that where teams can't get easy points, and just making them work for everything. As you see today, you know, we always have a saying, you know, make them hold them to 5 field goals, that's 15 points. You can't win in this league with 15 points. And for us, we just play sound defense all day.
We went out and played the way we play. And we've had some great games throughout the year and a lot of wins, but this was probably the best one.
J.J. Watt continued to be a force to be reckoned with one sack, two tackles for loss, two quarterback hits, and two passes defensed. He tied for the team lead with five tackles and led the Texans' defense in holding the Bengals to zero third down conversions.
That's the goal every game. You don't want to give them a third down. We know in the last month we haven't been great on third down, and we needed to be better on third down. And today we were very, very good on third down. And if we want to win next week, we're going to have to be good on third down again.
That's always been a part of our defense, and we just got back to it. Got back to making that important, you know, getting off on third downs, and players was making plays. If you don't make plays in this game, you don't win. And let's make a play, man. I was loving my DBs, man. They was out there just batting balls down. It looked like we could have had a couple more interceptions from balls flying up in the air, and they was doing their thing.
The Texans did, however, struggle on third down themselves, especially in the red zone, having to settle for four Shane Graham field goals.
We definitely want to score sevens down there. I think a couple times we were down there, you know, we were in our second down and long yardage situation on one. You know, didn't get much in the run game on the first one. And then, you know, you're going to take what they give you. You don't want to force things down there because you know you got three in the way. Our defense was playing, you know, that's, you know, puts us in a good position. But and then one time we had a penalty that knocked us back a little bit, and we had a third and goal on the 11, I think, and we hit it down to Arian, you know, and let him try to split the defense and score. But we obviously want to be better down there and get sevens.
You can always improve as a team, and I think that that was obviously our Achilles heel today. And I think when you get in the red zone, especially against a team like New England, you have to score touchdowns. You can't kick field goals, because they like to put up points, and I like to put up points in a hurry. You know, I got a lot of faith in our defense, but, you know, that man behind that center over there on that side of the ball is a great player. You know, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. So you have to keep him off the field, and you have to capitalize anytime you get the opportunity.
Matt Schaub was able to shake off a first-half pick six and orchestrated a 51-yard six-play drive in the third, culminating in a one-yard Arian Foster touchdown run.
Graham in motion to that side. Handoff, Arian dives in. Touchdown, Houston!
Jonathan Joseph stepped up big against his former team with two pass breakups and another playoff interception, setting the Texans up for another score.
Dalton gets the snap. Here's the pressure. Dalton throws downfield. Picked off Jonathan Joseph.
We just had a cover one call. I just got to jump on it. Had a feeling for what they were going to run on that particular down and just made a play on the ball.
The Texans dominated this one in just about every category, most notably time of possession. And it was Arian Foster who shouldered the load with 140 yards on the day, becoming the only player in NFL history with at least 100 yards in his first three playoff games.
Schaub feeds Foster, a little cut back to the left, nothing there, then straight ahead, 35-30, almost broke it. Schaub, play action, has all day, now dumps it off right side, hits Arian, to the right sideline he goes, has the first down.
He was outstanding, you know, he did what he always does, and that's just churn out the tough yards. He makes those two or three yarders into five or six, and always falling forward and, you know, putting us in a good situation on second or third down, and, you know, he was outstanding.
Well, I think we control the line of scrimmage, and anytime we do that, it's going to be tough to beat us because we eat up clock, and our offense is predicated off of the run because then it opens up the boot, and, you know, we have guys all over this team that can make plays, so anytime we control the offensive line, you know, we're going to be okay.
Before the game, Gary Kubiak told his team to play with a reckless abandon and leave it all on the field. The Texans did just that and now have their sights set on a return trip to New England.
This win just means that we're on to the next round. That's it. Burning the ships don't mean, you know, one win. It wasn't just for this win. You know, this was a good win to turn around the momentum, but burning the ships for the whole playoff.
Well, I take an extreme amount of pride in the way we play. I take an extreme amount of pride in our defense flying around, a lot of effort, a lot of hard work, and passion. I mean, we're out there flying around having fun, and I love being a part of this defense, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
So the Texans fans still here celebrating this big win as the team prepares to head to New England, and I know you guys had a great time. What'd you think?
Oh, man, this has just been so fun. I was telling Liddy, this is the best crowd that we've probably ever been to in a stadium. Fun, and the Texans, I mean, God, this is great.
I think we want to take you guys to New England with us. You want to go?
Absolutely. I think any Texan fan would be glad to go to New England.
All right, well, that's what's up next. We have to take our first time out here on Texas Huddle. Don't go away. We'll have more on this one, as well as looking forward to the trip to Foxborough. Stay with us.
Texas Huddle is brought to you in part by Verizon, America's fastest 4G network.
And welcome back to Texans Huddle. Joining me now, the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. And wow, Mark, we've got a lot to talk about
yes.
with the New England Patriots, but let's wrap up this Bengals game. Just what the Houston Texans needed, specifically Bulls on Parade.
Just what the doctor ordered for them, Patty. And you know, this was a great performance. 0-for-9 on third down. The Bengals could not keep drives going. They got a little bit of rushing yardage. But when you're playing so well on third down, the opponent gets perplexed as to how to keep drives going. I mean, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis had a pretty healthy yard per carry average, but it didn't matter. Andy Dalton was not sharp with his passes. Credit the Texans' pass rush and secondary for a whole lot of that. And the offense held the ball for almost 39 minutes. It was exactly what they wanted to do. They want to be better in the red zone, though. They're going to have to be better against New England. But this was a good victory for them. They really exercised a lot of the demons that have been plaguing them as they lost three out of their last four to conclude the regular season. Now it seems like they're getting their mojo back just in time for New England.
Let's talk about New England. What do you see the biggest difference this time as opposed to December 10th?
Now they know them. They know who the Patriots are. They face them. They know what Vince Wilfork is like, putting pressure on that offensive line and getting into the backfield. They know how to deal with Tom Brady, or they better know how to deal with Tom Brady, because he can hurry it up. He can change tempo. He can find any open man out there, it seems. They have to get pressure on him. I don't know exactly how they're going to do it. I do like the fact that Brooks Reed is back this time. That's great news for them. And on the offensive side of the football, they have Derek Newton back at right tackle. They hope that Garrett Graham can play to full capacity. That means they can run three tight end sets, which they could not do at all last time without Graham and Derek Newton. And I like that because it's a big part of their arsenal.
However, from a tight end standpoint on the New England side of the ball, they also have Gronkowski back. He was out there last time. Hernandez was a big part of that game. But just how do you see that dynamic and that playing out?
You know what? This is tough because I look at it like a basketball game. You know, if you're playing the Lakers, Kobe Bryant might score 35 on you, but you better find a way to win the basketball game. It's kind of like that. Tom Brady's going to get his. He's going to get some touchdown passes. You just know that he's going to find his way into the end zone somehow. You know that Gronkowski probably will as well, or at least get an opportunity to do that. But you can't let it get you down, and you have to find a way to keep things going on your end offensively. But I like the Texans' chances to keep this one a whole lot closer than last time. If you look at the last game, and I have watched it, Patty, it's a tough one, but they made little mistakes early that kind of snowballed on them. They cannot come out and make those mental errors. Penalty on the first play of the game, really? Drop passes, interception when you have the ball going in for a score, fumble that you don't pick up, little things like that. If they can correct those, they'll be in the game. It'll be a fourth quarter kind of affair, and we'll see who makes the big plays down the stretch.
How much credence do you put in as Matt Schaub goes, so goes the Houston Texans this weekend?
I think it's pretty important, actually. You know, Matt Schaub played much better against the Bengals. Now, the pick six was not good. That was very costly. It meant the Texans had to actually come from behind. They were only down a point, but they had to overcome that. But Schaub settled down. When you complete over 75% of your passes, you're doing a lot of things right in this league and completing them for about 275 yards. I thought he actually settled down very nicely. He's going to have to play better than that, though, against the Patriots. And the key is, and I talk about this a lot, third down passing. Arian Foster is going to get his touches, but it doesn't mean much if you can't pick up a third and four, third and five on occasion. So Schaub on third down has to be about 50%. Then I like their chances to keep drives going and burn up clock. Then you have to get pressure on Brady and do the things on defense that are going to create a victory for you.
All right, thanks, Mark. We've taken time out here on Texans Huddle, but don't go away. Plenty more when we return.
Texans Huddle is brought to you in part by Verizon, America's fastest 4G network. By the Memorial Hermann Iron Man Sports Medicine Institute, bringing elite care to all athletes. And by the Texas Lottery. Play the Houston Texans scratch-off from the Texas Lottery today. Maybe it's your lucky day.
And welcome back to Texas Huddle. Joining me now, Connor Barwin. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Big week coming up in New England, but let's first kind of put Cincinnati and Wild Card Weekend behind us. Bulls on Parade, we're back in a big way. You had a great game. Just kind of talk about defensively kind of what you guys felt you accomplished.
Well, I think, you know, we had a good week of preparation, and then, you know, we went out there and executed the defense that Wade called. And I think all 11 of us were on the same page from the start of the game to the very last play. We do that. We're very good.
You know, and I heard that a couple times, a good week of practice, and that translated onto the field. What kind of stands out? What signifies that for a good week of practice?
You know, I don't think there's any one thing. You can just kind of tell when guys are kind of locked in, you know what I mean? You know, you don't see a lot of mistakes at practice, and kind of you see less and less towards the end of the week. And you knew by Friday, our Friday practice, that everybody was ready to play for Sunday.
Do you feel like that game, albeit obviously you didn't want to play it, weren't supposed to play it, but because you did, it was maybe a good thing, maybe kind of worked some things through, got some things done?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it did. You know, all I know is that's the game we had to play, and we showed up and played well, and now we play New England. So, you know, whatever happened during the end of the regular season to make us have to play that, you know, that's in the past, and we've moved on.
Well, let's talk about New England. Just going back there, obviously, 42-14 the first time around on December 10th. I know you have much different expectations on this one.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a lot different this time around. You know, obviously, we went there and didn't play well, and the Patriots are a very talented team and took advantage of our mistakes. So hopefully, you know, we don't have those mistakes again, and it'll be a lot different game.
Can you and what did you learn from that to correct?
Well, you know, there's a bunch of little things, you know, you learn that we saw that we did wrong and they took advantage of. But really, you know, the first game is over with. This game will be a lot different, as you can, you know, you've heard media, you know, Belichick say and our coach say that, you know, the second game is always going to be a lot different. So it's a playoff game. It's win or go home. And it's going to come down to, you know, what team and what players step up and make big plays.
When you look at their offense, you know, of course, Tom Brady, as well as he plays, as good as he is, and now they've got Gronkowski back. Just kind of the keys for you guys on the defense to stop this offensive attack.
Well, they've got Gronkowski back, but I think we're going to have Graham back. We're going to have Newton back. We'll have Brooks Reed back, and that'll help us a lot, especially to answer your question on defense. Having Brooks back in the lineup will help us a lot this time.
All right, let's talk a little bit about your season. Just kind of overall, you know, record-wise, you guys had a great season. You specifically, sacks were down from last year, and I know people make a big deal out of that or whatever. Gary Kubiak always says, hey, you do so many things that are, you know, not showing up in the stats. But kind of just sort of grade and sort of rate yourself.
Well, I was obviously very disappointed in my production in sacks. You know, I had 20 more tackles, I think, or 22 more tackles than I did last year, which was positive. You know, I played, you know, almost every single snap this year on defense, which is positive. But obviously I wasn't happy with the sacks, and my job is to get pressure on the quarterback. You know, my QB hits were up there at the top of the league with other guys by position. But at the end of the day, you know, I put the pressure on myself to get back there and make those plays. And, you know, I didn't get there. But, you know, hopefully we can make a little run here in the playoffs and get some sacks.
You know, we're going to see in our next segment a segment that Sean Cody does on the nose. And, of course, you and Sean, best friends on the team. You're part of all these. You know, just talk about your relationship. And you know, one of the more colorful characters on the team. And you guys really enjoy yourselves off the field.
Well, we have a great time. And we are best friends. You know, I don't like to take too much credit for on the nose because that's all Sean. I just kind of poke my head in there. Sometimes I give him ideas here and there, but really, Cody deserves all that credit. Nick Schofield and Drew Doherty deserve the credit because those guys actually put a lot of time into making those little 3-minute, 4-minute videos.
You play a great straight guy.
Yeah, well, well, I got the easiest role. I think I'm the smartest one in the group, but no, they do a great job.
How does that, do you think, that relationship sort of translate? Like you said, you guys are best friends. You have fun off the field. Does that translate onto the field?
Well, it does translate on the field. I wish Cody was out there a little bit more with us on the field, but, you know, teams don't run the ball like they used to anymore with us, so we're not in base defense very much. But I think it transfers not only on the field, but it transfers to the locker room. I think he's a key guy in the locker room. You know, this NFL season is such a grind. There's highs and lows, and he's a guy that's in here every day in the morning, you know, with a smile on his face, making guys laugh. And there's certain weeks when, you know, you're not happy, you know, and he's the guy that's there to, you know, kind of cheer everybody up.
All right, well, we're going to see that in the next segment. Thank you for being with us.
We've got
to take a time out here on Texas Huddle, but don't go away. When we come back, Sean Cody on the nose. Well, your votes were counted, and Texan safety Danielle Manning was selected as the Whataburger Player of the Year. In just his second year with the Texans, Manning's impact was felt both on and off the field. By making various personal appearances on behalf of the organization, Manning was fully committed to making the Houston Texans stand out throughout the Houston area and the state of Texas. And welcome back to Texans Huddle. Well, we all know hazing is no laughing matter, unless, of course, it's being addressed by Sean Cody in his On the Nose segment that you can see at HoustonTexans.com. Check it out.
Hello, Texans fans. It seems like every year you hear about a widespread practice throughout the NFL that has been going on for far too long. I'm talking about rookie hazing. And when it comes to speaking out against rookie hazing, the Houston Texans grab the bull by the horns. We don't play that game.
Being a part of the Houston Texans organization means not only doing your part on the field, but also being a great teammate and stand-up gentleman off the field, in the locker room, and in the community. To take part in such immature, unseemly, and disrespectful behavior like hazing is downright wrong, and that will not be tolerated in the Houston Texans organization.
Now, I'm sure if you asked other players around the NFL about this thing called rookie hazing, you might get the sense that they view it as a rite of passage, if you will, or that they're just having fun with the young guys to build team chemistry and camaraderie. Here at the Texans, we kind of view things a little different. You know, we know better. So we would never throw a rookie into the cold 31 degree temperature ice tub. We wouldn't do something like that. Now, if they happen to get in the ice tub on their own accord, we don't see anything wrong with that. The NFL is hard enough. Forcing rookies to perform strenuous, humiliating, or even dangerous tasks would be counterproductive and beneath what professionals like ourselves strive to be. As a quarterback and team captain, I take tremendous pride in the fact that we veterans would never place our younger players in a position of servitude. Okay, let's leave that in spot number 8 with the windows down, please.
As a longtime NFL player rep, I know firsthand about the pitfalls and perils of NFL hazing. We have the responsibility to uphold the integrity of this fine city, this locker room, and the entire NFL. That is why we would never condone actions such as carrying pads, singing, vacuuming, tidying the locker, cutting off fingers, and cleaning cleats. We would never do anything like that.
So remember, fans, with the Houston Texans, we make plays, we don't haze.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it. And if you'd like to maybe watch it again or would just like any additional information on your Houston Texans, log on to HoustonTexans.com. Until then, we will see you on Monday night for Texans Wrap, hopefully wrapping up a big win against the New England Patriots. Until then, have a great weekend, everyone.